Okay. Well, good morning. As she said, my name is Cassandra Arroyo. I'm currently a core faculty at Walden University, but this is some work that was going on, started while I was a full-time faculty at Georgia Southern University, Jim Pinksiew College of Public Health, and joint work with the Georgia SOFIE. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about before I get into some of the lessons that we've learned during this coalition building process is first to give you some context. As you can see from the title, it did mention that we are in rural Georgia. And so why specifically were we looking to build a coalition in Jenkins County, Georgia? The Georgia Department of Public Health actually defines Jenkins County as a rural county. And what I have here are just some comparison statistics of Jenkins County to the state of Georgia overall. And in Jenkins County, there's about 24.5 people per square mile compared to 141.1 people per square mile in the state of Georgia. Some statistics from the 2009 census, the population of Jenkins County was about 8,450. Well, the population for Georgia overall was about 9,829,211. The population of Jenkins County is 41.3% black compared to 30.2% black in Georgia overall. High school graduates are higher. Only about 65% of the Jenkins County population has a high school diploma or higher, compared to almost 83% of the population in Georgia overall. As you can see, poverty is higher in Jenkins County than in the state of Georgia overall. What I don't have here, and you can see from the median household income, about $26,652, which is about a little less than half of what the state of Georgia marks overall as their median household income. What I don't have here is the fact that their unemployment rate has actually maxed at about 26%, which is really high compared to national levels and the state of Georgia as well. One of the unique things about Jenkins County is actually in July they were featured on Dateline, on NBC, and is it NBC? Okay. But what happened was it was a documentary called the Town That Jobs Forgot. And so because of the economic downturn from 2007 to 2009, about 1,300 people lost their jobs when the factories closed or moved overseas. And so when you're thinking about 1,300 people out of 8,400, that's a huge amount of people who have actually ended up without jobs, which obviously we know when you lose your job, you tend to lose your health benefits. And so during this time, between 2007 and 2009, when the industries were leaving, was around about the time that we were conceiving the notion of and starting a coalition. So just to give you a little bit of background about the diabetes statistics in Jenkins County, the state level data has information on diabetes morbidity. And so in 2006, prior to the start of the coalition, African Americans aged over the age of 20 years old accounted for 73% of all diabetes morbidity in Jenkins County. Specifically in 2006, the age-adjusted morbidity rate in Jenkins County was about 628.9 per 100,000 for African Americans compared to 137.6. This particular disparity, we noted from the state data, had actually persisted for more than 6 years prior to that. So why did we decide that we needed to form a coalition? Well, first of all, compared to those residing in suburbs, we know that rural populations typically have lower SES, unhealthier lifestyles, and less access to health services. And this is, Jenkins County is obviously no different. They have one county hospital, which was recently bought by a for-profit organization, so it is now a for-profit hospital as opposed to a public hospital. They have three primary physicians that's all they have in the town. They have two local pharmacies and a Rite Aid, one grocery store, just a lot of lack of resources. So according to one of the coalition partners, which is their Family Enrichment Center, which are located in all the counties in Georgia, there's major issues due to economic downturn that occurred around transportation, food insecurity. Their food bank is empty. So they tend to have to go to Statesboro, which is about 45 minutes away, or Augusta or Savannah for a lot of things, and a lack of access to health care, as I've already mentioned. We all know that community coalitions equal effective strategies to reduce health disparities in marginalized communities. And they do this by including a representative group of community members, stakeholders, local health professionals, and members of the academic community as equals. And so that was our goal here, was to sort of empower the community by creating this academic and community partnership. So the humble beginnings of the Jenkins County Diabetes Coalition. It was established in 2008 via a one-year REACH USCC Legacy Project grant from the Medical University of South Carolina. The focus for us, we really were trying to use a CBPR approach with an emphasis on a faith-based approach. Because in Jenkins County, as you can see, there was about 8,400 people living in Jenkins County. There are 68 churches in Jenkins County. So 68 churches for 8,450 people. So everyone in Jenkins County, either by family or by free will, is associated with a church in some way, shape, or form. So at that point in time, in 2008, we recruited 10 members representing different churches and local organizations, in theory. However, they were really there primarily as individuals who were really interested in diabetes. So the focus for us at that time when we were forming the coalition was to focus on basic diabetes education for coalition members, some resource and asset mapping activities, and then to assess community preferences for diabetes programming. But then things fell apart. The resource mapping facilitator who we paid never followed up with additional resources to complete the activity. My capacity building coordinator, who was a graduate student at the time being paid a small stipend by the grant, left because she got a full-time position as the wellness program director on campus. So she went from working part-time as a graduate assistant to working full-time as a wellness director. So we were all happy for her, but obviously we lost a valuable resource. And myself as the PI, my responsibilities began to increase in my faculty and administrative role as the MPH program director as we were headed towards CEEP accreditation. So in light of all that, the grant funding ended because it was only a year long. Well, it seemed like it all fell apart. After about a one-year stall in progress, we made a decision to partner with the Georgia Society for Public Health Education chapter to apply for a five-year SOFI Health Equity Grant, and it was awarded. And that's one of the co-authors is actually here in the audience with me. She's the Health Equity Program Director. In that regard, we decided that at that point we were going to partner with Georgia SOFI, and it was going to have a community track and a chapter track because there was some chapter capacity building that needed to be done. But I'm going to focus on the community track, and that was to expand the membership and the partnerships of the coalition, to solidify the organizational structure and establishing leadership within the coalition, a vision, mission, and goals development that we were going to go take them through, some evidence-based capacity building around coalition development and diabetes education, and try to conduct a community needs assessment. The exciting part about why I say or so it seemed everything fell apart, but it didn't, all original 10 members showed up and brought more people after a year of really no work. So we were really excited about that. And so moving into our evidence-based practices, we pulled on some resources. We hired Dr. Fran Butterfoss from Coalition's work to come in as a consultant to do some capacity building around the 8 steps to coalition development and also to run the mission goals development, division mission goals development workshop that we held for the community members. We also held a Road to Health community health worker model kind of presentation, and I'll give you a little bit more information about that in a second. And then we also used the Power to Prevent model as well for some additional diabetes education. For the coalition, I already mentioned this, but you can see there's some pictures of who all we had there. Dr. Fran Butterfoss was writing on the notepad when we were going through the vision, mission, and goals workshop, and everyone was really engaged, and that was really exciting for us, particularly because we got our community members, and she was really excited about this, but we got our community members to come out 3 times in 1 week for training, which was really exciting. Oh, Lord, 5 minutes. So Diabetes 101 we did. We had someone from South Carolina come in, and then the Road to Health. We did a demonstration of the community of the Road to Health interactive presentation, which has also served as a reinforcement of some additional of the previous diabetes education that they received. Some of the work that we've done is in diabetes prevention and management, the booth at the Fair on the Square. I don't have time to get into the Fair on the Square, but Fair on the Square is this annual event that is huge in Jenkins County, and everyone comes out. So we've always had a booth and a presence there since our starting. this year we started our annual Passport to Health, Small Steps for Life, to encourage physical activity at the Big Fair on the Square. Some of our current collaborative partnerships, Zion Baptist Church, as you can see here, the Reach USCC, they have a tri-state now broadening their coalition, actually, and we're invited every year for their annual coalition partner meetings. Some of our process evaluation and results, we use the community effectiveness inventory. Some highlights from this is that the coalition members really felt that in coalition participation, they had the highest presence of characteristics in members, lead agency, and staff. Staff being myself and Shati Ray Chowdhury, who's also a co-author on this, and our students that have been working on the project. Also, some area of improvements that they talked about. This was in January. We're now in November. And the areas of improvement they said were leaders, coalition structure, coalition processes, and their stage of development at the time was formation and implementation. We've made great strides in leadership. We've had people step up and actually ask to be leaders and that sort of thing. And so I'm going to kind of rush through some of this here. But real quickly, the key informant interviews. Some of our major findings, and this is some of the lessons learned, is that what we've had is we were able to actually demonstrate some increase in diabetes knowledge. And this was found through the key informant interviews by how confident the community members were, the coalition members were with their use of diabetes terminology. And when they were asked questions about some of the things that they learned at the workshops, how quickly they were able to respond with the retention of the information. There was a lot of ownership, I felt, we felt, that came out of these key informant interviews, where they were using the terms we during the interview process in reference to coalition work. And that's a huge difference from when we first started, when they kept asking, can you do, can you do, can you do, can you get? So they've moved from a very reliant on us to relying more on themselves. They talked about high participation but low representation, and that actually comes from the fact that they felt that the communication that we've been using is effective, but it's not necessarily exhaustive. So mostly it's word of mouth. And some additional lessons learned is that reinforcing community member perception of the problem in the community with scholarly evidence builds their confidence. Overall, they had high agreement on meeting focus, structure, facilitation, and outcomes. Exhortation goes a long way, just encouraging people to really step into leadership roles and really encouraging them and exhorting them to take on the fact that they know their community better than I do, that all I have is a skill set for them to borrow. I don't have the expertise in how to help their community best. Their leaders will rise out of necessity. And we've had some people really step up and take charge of the bylaws, the development of the bylaws, because they felt like we were stagnant on that and we kept talking about it. Thank you. Also, in a resource-poor setting, we don't necessarily like to use this terminology, and I got this from from Nicolette, but we want to aim for low-hanging fruit to build momentum. They really needed to see that there was some progress being made in some way, shape, or form, and we've been able to do that with the Passport to Health program, which afterwards you can ask me questions about if you want. But also, from an academic perspective, from someone who doesn't live in the community, a genuine commitment to the community really does build trust. And also, we've found that a quote-unquote racially neutral meeting place increases participation. And I say racially neutral because this is the rural South. And the churches are racially divided for the most part in African-American churches and predominantly white churches. And so we've seen very different, in moving the meetings around Jenkins County, we've seen the differences in the membership and the participation based on our meeting location. So we are now partnered with the hospital, and we meet at the hospital, the for-profit hospital, for free every month in their conference room. And then also, just quickly, that logical partners are not always available. Even just Saturday when we presented at the SOFIE meeting about our progress, we had people questioning why we didn't have the health department involved. And the health department is severely understaffed in this particular county, so having their involvement by physical presence is almost impossible. So we do have someone who serves as a liaison. Finally, our major light bulb moments were, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And then even when it doesn't look like it's working, trust that it is. So thank you, and these are our partners.